Hello, and welcome back to Laundry Day, the podcast I created as an excuse to run a load of laundry. My name is Drew Wren, and I'm still your mediocre host. This week's episode has a bit of a theme. I want to talk about bodies, body positivity, body negativity, body yaddy 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 yaddy. To start off this episode, let's warm up with a story from my life that is body related. Sorry, gentlemen, for this next story. As a woman, I have to get pap smears to check on my lady parts to make sure they're working, and I had a really bad first experience at this. My first experience was a bit of a spontaneous thing. So I had to go into a walk-in clinic, not an OBGYN. The doctor was not somebody that I knew, and I was super scared. First of all, this is long before mask mandates, and homegirl was really just all up in there maskless. In there, maskless. Like, dang, we just met. Buy me dinner or something. So, needless to say, I was in full clench mode. My body was betraying me. I could not relax. Like, clenching! So, she takes the speculum, which is a little tool to look up into the Golden Gates. She couldn't really get it in there, right in this little garage. So, she awkwardly murmurs out, oh, tight. I didn't know if I should say thank you. Thank you. So she switched to another tool, shoved that big boy in, and I cried later, laughing, sobbing, just fully embarrassed. I don't know if that is, I share a lot of weird stories on here. I don't know if I've crossed a line at this point. Like, have I crossed? Don't answer that. I felt the need to share my own embarrassing story before I share one from my beloved listeners. So, as you guys know from last week, I am sharing your embarrassing stories here on The Potty, the podcast. So, this is an embarrassing story from Dawn.
Okay, I think this is how I'm supposed to do this. I'm old. I don't get it. Anyway, when I was probably 19 years old, I'm going to give you a most embarrassing moment. When I'm 19 years old, I'm feeling myself, I think I'm hot, and the guy next door is this older chiropractor, and he lived next door to me. And so I go to the chiropractor, and I'm always getting my back adjusted, little bit flirty, and one day I go in there, he adjusts my back, and I'm still all being flirty, and when I get up, he says, did you know that you have a huge hole in the back of your pants? And I go, no, I didn't. So I go out to the bathroom. I go to the bathroom, and lo and behold, from seam to seam, the whole butt is ripped out of my pants. And that's not the most embarrassing part. I had granny panties. I was 19 years old. I'm 51 now, and I still do not wear granny panties to this day. But that particular day, I had granny panties on. Needless to say, I never got a date.
Wow, that is so embarrassing and so hilarious. I love that. That matches my energy perfectly. Like, energy matched. Love it, Dawn. That's hilarious. That is such a good story. If you guys have your own embarrassing story, please send it in. I would love to share it on here. I can even share it without your name if you would prefer. I can even change your voice if you would prefer. All right. I did an Instagram poll on different body positivity related matters. See, we've talked about bodies. We talked about granny panties and my story with the OBGYN or whatever. So I did a little Instagram poll. This is what you guys had to say. My first question was, what is body positivity to you? Someone said, a thing that should have been normalized. That's interesting. That's very interesting. And I tend to agree. Another person said, being comfortable and confident in your own skin, also feeling healthy and being healthy. You guys know if you follow my Instagram, I am all about body positivity, but not as a physical appearance thing. That's where we get so obsessed with appearance that we forget that body positivity is about literally treating your body with respect and love, treating it like it's worthy, treating it like it's capable. So it's about your health, your mental health, and how you're treating this body, the one body that you get. Another person said taking nudes for myself. I mean, go off. Go off. If that is your version of body positivity, go off. This person said being yourself and being confident. I love that. I love that. Okay, let's see. We've got more. Let's see. My next question for you was, what is one thing you wish was different about the body positivity movement? You guys said physically being healthy and good to our bodies was more popular versus just loving yourself. So a lot of you guys sent in things about that, that, you know, loving yourself isn't, you know, about treating your body badly and then saying, oh, but I love it. It's about treating your body respectfully and healthily and loving it. And again, take the appearance out of it, because it's not about appearance. It's literally about how you treat your body. Another person said that they wish that people would stop making comments about how skinny they are. I think that this is really interesting. So many people think that the body can I not ever speak English? I'm drinking wine today, so at least I have an excuse. That the body positivity movement is, you know, typically about women who are seen as overweight being scrutinized, but this is coming from somebody on the other end of this saying that they wish that people would stop making comments about how skinny they are. This person said, I wish the movement actually promoted good health, healthy eating, regular exercise. That's very interesting. I'm so glad that you guys got back to me with these responses. I think it's important to give perspective on this because it really means something different to everyone. All right. My next question for you guys was, who is somebody that inspires you with their beauty standards, with their body positivity? This person said Shakira. Someone said Ashley Graham, who I love and follow myself. This person said my friends, my yoga teacher, definitely not anyone in the mainstream. That's really interesting. I like that. We tend to idolize people in social media, but there are people in your real life who can inspire you as well. This person said me. Thanks, guys. I try. I posted some pictures of my stretch marks the other day with some of my opinion. I'll repost them if you guys are curious about my opinion more. It's time for our random fact of the day. But I wanted to make it a list because I love a good list. Here are some random facts about your body. Your heart beats about 100,000 times a day. You could produce enough saliva to fill 2 bathtubs a year. Okay, that's a little crazy. Your blood vessels could circle the globe. That's crazy. Ooh, that's creepy, actually. You're taller in the morning. I do feel taller. I'm like, I'm living my best life when I first wake up. I wake up, my hair is messy, but it's like good messy. I'm a little taller. As someone who's 5'1", I'm vibing. I'm vibing being 5'2" in the morning. It's time for some laundromat gossip. This week's special guest is someone who has made some huge headway as an independent artist with 700,000 streams on her single Serotonin and almost 500,000 TikTok followers. I'd like to introduce you all to Courtney Govan. Courtney, hello.
Hi. Oh my God. I'm so, so happy to be here. This is so fun.
I am so excited to be chatting with you today. I remember becoming TikTok friends, I guess, yes. Was it in the pandemic?
Yeah, 1,000%.
When you were just finally getting the recognition you deserved. You were like going viral like every day.
Yes.
I was one of your fans who followed you through that pandemic life. We were living that pandemic life, just singing,
honestly,
singing our faces off on TikTok.
It was all about the pancetta, all about it.
All about it. Well, I love your TikTok page. If you guys who are listening or watching have not checked out her page, go check her out. Courtney does. She is an amazing vocalist, which we're going to get into a bunch of facts about the beautiful Courtney. But for now, being someone who strictly does music on the app is pretty difficult, wouldn't you say?
Yes, 1,000%.
It's,
I think,
tough.
The hardest avenue on TikTok to be like at all. I think it's so difficult.
It is. It's like we're always striving to come up with original content.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't always trends either, like musical trends. Finally,
right.
I feel like finally TikTok is turning more and more into a space where musicians can thrive. But
absolutely.
I know that you can relate that it hasn't always catered towards singer talk,
yes,
if you will. Singer talk. No, so I mean, we really, in this last probably 6 to 8 month period, I've seen so many more musicians pop up. But I know,
yes,
that you're a part of kind of the group of us who was just trying to come up with original content.
Right.
You know, just trying to get our voices out there and our music.
Honestly. Yeah. I think it was interesting because it's like, I think for most of us who are singers, especially like internet singers, we didn't just start on TikTok. You know, it's kind of, we've been migrating with every avenue that pops up, posting music on Instagram, posting it on Vine, posting it on YouTube, you know? So it's like when TikTok came around, it was like, okay, let's just keep posting our stuff on here. But then TikTok proved to be like this insane thing that was actually revolutionizing not just like pop culture, but our industry. So it's like,
totally.
Okay, I want to post my original content, but also there's rules I got to follow. Like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, it's not like you can open up TikTok's rule book and read like what right. they're going to have trending, what's the algorithm going to look like. You just have to shoot your shot, but you still have to put the work in. So it's just wild. It's so weird, but totally. It's so rewarding and so fun too.
It is fun. It's definitely addicting. Once you see people responding well to the yes. musical content, it's like, oh my gosh, this could really work. This is a real avenue. Because at first it was a joke. But then
I was like, I'm just going to get this because I want to watch renovation videos. I want to watch people restore like old homes and do DIYs. And then I was like, what if I post a cover? And I was ruined. I was ruined.
What if I just mess around and start singing? Perfect. Well, how long have you been singing for?
I've been singing since I was little. I feel like that's just like the go-to answer for a lot of people I know. But like, I really was the little kid that wouldn't shut up. Like, I just would not stop singing. I used to like sing my feelings to my parents. Like, yeah, it was a mess. But yeah, I've just kind of always been really musical. And then I started posting online in like 2009, started posting YouTube videos.
The best era. The best era.
I hate that that's immortalized. I hate that I have that version of myself who went by Courtney Elise, not Courtney Govan. I was Courtney Elise.
Wow, I need to do some internet stalking. Is that footage still out there? Can we find this footage?
There's some. I have since controlled it a little bit, but there is like a video of me singing Rolling in the Deep that went like not viral, because viral was not really a common thing in 2009, 2010. But
definitely
like,
not on YouTube.
No, I think it was like 16,000 views, which for me was like, oh my God, like that number changed everything for me. I was like, okay, I'm never going to stop this. But so that's still yes. up. I'm like on a webcam. It's black and white. It's really not good, but it's so cute to look back on and be like, okay, we love her.
I love that. All my videos from that era, I had like emo bangs. Like I thought I was emo, but I was absolutely not. It was just like a style thing for me. I thought I was cool.
Oh,
when I look back, same. I'm like, oh, honey.
Oh
honey,
my God. No. I'm the baby. I'm the youngest of my family. So it's like, I was the style icon in the family. You know, it's like, I was the one that was wearing cat eyeliner at 12,
yes.
but it was disgusting. It was horrid how my mother let me leave the house. You know what? Good props to Anna Govan out there. She let me leave the house feeling good and confident, but not looking good, but that's okay.
I love that. It's all in the feeling. You right. know what? Most of what confidence is just in the way that you feel inside.
Absolutely.
You know, the outside changes, as we've seen from the early 2000s. So you've been a singer for a long time, but what got you interested in more of the content creation side of things?
Right.
Because you are awesome at content creation.
Thank
now.
You.
So what got you into that?
You know, I wish I had this like answer that like everything clicked for me and I became a content creator. I've just always been like really into photography and videography my whole life. Like I used to do my sister's like English projects where they'd have to make videos. Like I've just been very tech savvy. So when it came to like my singing, I was like, okay, how can I use my love of technology and my love of editing to enhance singing as well? And then it kind of just became something that I was always good at. So my family always came to me to take their portraits and headshots. And like my sister and my like just friends were always like, oh, Courtney can put the video together for the wedding or for the birthday or whatever. And then I was like, you know what? I'm kind of good at this. And I didn't expect anything like we just talked about. I thought TikTok was going to be like, let me join it and kind of just be in the shadows and not be a creator. But I'm going to still post singing every once in a while because that's what I do. And then everything shifted. I was like, oh, shoot, like, I want to do this, and I think people want to see what I do, no matter how stupid it is, you know, even if it's just, like, this video compilation of what I ate today, you know what I mean? So it's, like,
yes.
I just really enjoy putting together, like, these videos that, like, kind of encompass my life, and it kind of feels like a little time capsule for us as well, because it's, like, we get to look back at these videos that we spend time on and be, like, let me look through the, like, you get to go back on your page and look at all of the amazing memories that you felt for, like, releasing Orchestra. You know what I mean? And
yes.
That's how I feel about, like, Serotonin and all of, like, just these big things or little things that happen in our life. It's, like, I get to be a creator, but I also get to, like, kind of immortalize, like, parts of my life that I want to remember. And I think that's really
well,
rad.
It definitely shows, it shows that you're passionate about kind of the all of it, like
right.
You're saying. But I know you've done a lot of your own visuals mm-hmm. and different things for your releases, which
yeah.
is really cool. I know you're an independent artist, but I have this feeling that even if you weren't, you would still want to do that. It
yeah.
sounds like you're passionate about that.
Yeah.
As far as the music industry goes, have you been involved in that side of music for a long time? I saw that. Were you in theater? You have
yes.
like a theatrical
yes.
training. Like, you sing properly.
Yes. Yes, ma'am, I do. I went to college for musical theater because I went to a really like academic-based all-girls Catholic high school. And so I didn't really have a huge, like, exposure to what it actually would look like to do the arts professionally. So I was like, okay, I don't really know what I want to go to college for. Let me go to college for theater because it's something I love, but I don't know that well. So I explored it for 4 years and I loved it. But I just kind of realized at the end of the 4 years, like, I don't think theater's the medium that I want to do. Like, I'll always love musical theater and they'll get all my money. Like, I'm going to go to Broadway for the rest of my life and watch shows. But it also taught
yes.
me a lot about just, like, overall organization and professionalism and how to treat people and, like, the importance of collaborating. You know, like, I feel like a lot of people don't understand how many people touch a project. You know what I mean? So
yes.
I think that, like, I kind of lost my train of thought a little bit, but,
no, I mean,
yeah.
I totally agree. Theater is such a good, I was in theater too.
Yes.
I didn't go to college for it. I didn't go to college for anything.
That's
surprise. I didn't go to college.
and that
but
is
no,
okay.
I was in theater too. And it does teach you about, like, you know, collaborating and,
yeah.
and how many people it takes to put something together, which
right.
is definitely, I'm with you on that.
Right.
Well, okay. So you mentioned Serotonin a little bit earlier
yes.
and I mentioned it when I introduced you. 700,000 streams. That's absolutely insane. As a DIY artist, that is, I mean, you should be seriously so proud of that. What was it like when your song Serotonin started blowing up? What was your reaction to that?
I have so many random videos of me just crying. because I'm not someone that posts those, but maybe one day I'll do like a compilation of like all of my crying videos. But oh my God, it didn't feel real. Like, it still doesn't feel real. I go through these waves of like, oh yeah, a couple people have listened to my music, a couple people like to listen to it, and then I'll like check my stats and I'm like, holy shit, like, this is real. I'll realize, like, oh, a couple people listen to my music, and then I'll look at my stats, and I'm like, holy shit, like, if this was it for me, if this was all the universe said was going to be it for my music, I'd be grateful. You know, I hit a milestone that I know, like, 70% of people fighting to be in our industry never hit. So it's
exactly.
like, I think it's easy to get wrapped up into like seeing songs going viral every single day. And you're like, oh my gosh, like this person has millions of streams and this, I'm like, that's so rare. And you're lucky enough to have these numbers. Like, it's amazing. And I feel so grateful. Like, I could instantly cry, just instantly sob tears of just gratitude.
I mean, it's so true. Every single, like, people don't quite understand unless you've tried to do it that even getting 100 streams is like, oh my God, thank you.
Yes.
100 people listen to it.
100
because
people.
Literally, when no matter how many followers you have or how long you've been doing it, when you put out new music, there's still that moment of, I mean, if 100 people hear this, that would still be like really crazy.
Put those 100 people in one room and it's an overwhelming,
yes.
amazing experience. Like,
and you know how hard it is to get people to listen to music. That's yes. the thing is there's so much music out there. There's so much content out there.
So much.
That the fact that 700,000 times somebody listened to your song, I mean, there you have it. That's, like you said, it's a lot harder than people realize. It's rare. It is rare.
It's amazing.
So I know you're working on your next single.
Yes.
What is it? You can't tell us what it's called.
No,
can you tell us
yet.
What it's about?
It is about, am I allowed to cuss on this podcast?
Okay. You can say whatever you want.
It's literally about not giving a fuck about anything that people want to change about you in your life. That's a case in point, like bottom line of what it is. It's like everyone has something in their life that they feel like they need to change because this person will like me more or I'll be more successful. And like for me, it was just having people tell me in my life, like, you need to lose weight to be successful and believing them. And believing them for like all my entire childhood. Like I had to shake that the last like 3 years of my life. And I knew I was going to write a song about it. I just wanted it to come to me instead of me trying to sit down and write it. And it happened. I'm very excited. And it's my personal favorite that I've released to date. So that's where we're at.
Wow. I love that. I feel like for your fans, it's a real personal like look inside of like who Courtney is, how Courtney got here.
Yeah.
So that makes me super eager to listen to it. Just that alone.
Right.
Knowing that I already love you. I love Serotonin. It has good vibes. It's positive, whatever. But as one of your fans, all I want to do is like, I want to know more. I want to know how you got here. So that song sounds like it's going to do that for your listeners.
Yeah.
And I think that's amazing. I know you're a voice for such good things on your platform. Like you were just saying, your bio says, your body is perfect because it's your body. I love that.
Thank you.
I love the message. I love everything that you stand behind. Tell me more about your journey to self-love and where your passion for body positivity really came into play.
You know, I feel like I don't really talk about this a lot. Like I do, but I'm very specific about when I talk about it because I feel like there's always going to be something that might not be said correctly or might be taken, I don't know, like the wrong way. But all in all, it's like my journey with my like self-love and loving myself is never going to stop because just like there are people who support me and support the way that I am and who I am, like there are going to be people that don't. And I think it's important to just like take all of that and be like, put your blinders up. You know, not everything needs your attention. So it's like when you look at my page, there are really specific, like it's not oversaturated with body positivity. And I do that on purpose because I want the times that I speak about it to be something that like this needs to change and you can change it. Because I never want to just be like, hey, I'm fat and like I'm sad about it. Bye. You know, I want it to be like, hey, I'm sad. And this is what my thought process looks like, and this is where I'm at. And yes, I'm blaming the way that I look right now, but why am I blaming the way that I look? You know, I want to make it more a conversation instead of like, hey, I'm really sad, and now I'm not leaving you with any type of closure, and now I might be making you sad too. You know, so I'm very particular about when I talk about it, because if I'm not in the mental space to be positive, I don't want that to affect my followers. You know what I mean?
That's good.
Yeah. So I guess
that's really, really, that's like mature. That's kind of rare too.
Yeah.
Just being that self-aware that anytime you speak about something that matters that much to you, that it needs to be well thought out and authentic and true and the full story, not just the part like I'm sad about this or whatever.
Yeah.
That's really, really smart.
Right. I feel like it also keeps me from like regretting from posting something, you know, like we share so much of ourselves online, so much that it's like, where's the line for us? Because we're the ones that draw it, you know? But I think like to focus back on a little bit more on your question, like I've kind of just like through my whole life, I've been on this like journey of self-acceptance like most people are. And it's like I was always very much so aware, like I felt different growing up. I was very much so aware that I was overweight. And it was always spoken about in like a negative way or also like even more hurtful, a passive way. You know what I mean? So it's like it's a fact, But, like, I can't go shopping with my friends. I can't do this. If I eat this in public, people are going to look at me weird. Like, shit like that that I've had to deal with. And my parents were always so supportive, you know, but I also still grew up in diet culture. So it was, like, as supportive as they were being, I still was, like, counting calories at 10 years old. So it's, like, that was a really hard thing for me to break as an adult with my relationship with food. And I still have a very weird relationship with food, but I'm more honest about it. I talk about it a lot more. And I think the number one thing is just, like, learning how to talk to the people you love and, like, being like, hey, I know you might not feel the best right now, but, like, can you maybe not say you feel fat when you're a size 2? Because, like, you aren't fat. And that's not a negative thing. But it's okay to be having a bad day. You know what I mean? Like, changing that kind of conversation with the people around you who you love to be like, hey, this kind of hurt me. Or can we kind of, like, rework the way we talk about stuff so that we can both be happy and move on and just, like, ultimately kind of just care about each other and think about the things that we say.
Wow. I love it. Well, I love that you have – it sounds like you have – come to a conclusion of how you feel about all of this stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of people spend their whole life searching for, as I'm doing this episode on body positivity, the whole episode.
Oh, I love it.
And I, there are so many people I asked, you know, I did an Instagram poll and I asked people what is body positivity to them? What do they wish could change about the movement? Who is their, like, who's an icon of that? And it's just really interesting. So many people are still so confused about what that is. A lot of the problem is, and I've talked about this with you a little bit, but it's the obsession with appearance.
Yeah.
And for me, I always struggled with body positivity because for me, it meant I needed to be looking at my appearance all the time. The only way I could be positive is if I could justify everything about my appearance or change everything about my appearance. And I think so many young girls especially neglect who they are inside mentally in their heart and their mind, but also they live a very unhealthy life to their body. Even just living in depression is so hard on our physical bodies.
Yeah.
And young girls are so obsessed with the appearance that they often neglect the other things that literally are killing your body, just literally killing your health. So it's truly about health. It's about the way that you feel inside.
Right.
And it's also, you know, your organs operate better when you love yourself more.
Right, exactly.
You're like, our gut is one of the most important things to our mental health as well, and people don't know that. So there's so much internally that gets neglected when body positivity is based around appearance.
Absolutely.
And there's no way to base it around appearance because everyone looks different.
Right.
So it's like, you know, you can't – there is no standard to any type of beauty. And the fact that we continue, like, on to think that is the reason that people are so mentally unhealthy and,
absolutely,
you know, neglecting – the parts of their body that need them the most. So
absolutely. I could not agree more.
I'm with you. I'm with you on it all. And I've talked about it before on my podcast. I am not a fan of scales. I don't weigh myself. I am not, that's, the number is meant to be compared. And when you start comparing things, you're already on the path to an unhealthy body. So I'm not, I've talked about it before. I'm not a fan of that.
I'm not either.
At all.
Nope.
At all. I think that's another issue.
Yeah. There's so many. There's so many different avenues that are just, like, problematic. There's so many. Like, we could talk about this for hours. But I think all in all, we're both making a point that just kind of ties down to, like, we are the only ones that can tell ourselves that we approve. You know, like, because you need to live your life based on, like, do you want to do this thing? Yes or no. If you choose yes, then you're deciding that that's the healthiest thing for you in this moment. And that is what's true. And that's what's valid. Not anyone else's opinion about your decisions. You know,
correct. And you can't compare another person's healthy walk to your own healthy walk. It's
there
just
you
not,
go.
We're not the same.
Absolutely.
We can't, we're not living the same life. So I mean, you're right. We could go on for hours about
we
it.
Could.
There's so many things. The real point though with body positivity is that every single body is so, so worthy.
Yeah.
And every single body is capable.
Absolutely.
And that's the thing. People, if you are not treating your body like a worthy, capable, lovable thing, then you have no you are not treating your body with love. You have no love for your body. So treat it like it's capable, treat it like it's worthy, treat it like it's lovable. And that is body positivity.
Yes, ma'am. Tattoo it on my back, please.
All right, I'm on my way.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll come back to this in a few minutes, but I love to play games with my guests, and I prepped Courtney. So for everyone listening and watching, I prepped Courtney for this game. I want to play Never Have I Ever, because I feel like you're a pretty open book like me.
Yes.
Not everyone is, so I felt like you're the perfect guest to play this with. So she came up with her questions for me, or her Never Have I Evers for me, and I came up with mine for her. We'll see if we've done these things.
Okay.
Never have I ever stuck gum under a desk. I've never done anything like that.
Oh, absolutely I have. Absolutely. What? Yeah. I went to an all-girls Catholic high school. I was the walking cliche. I was chewing gum when I wasn't allowed to, sticking it under my desk so I could be a rebel. Absolutely. It was like one of the few things I could do.
That is so hilarious. Well, I for sure have never done it because my dad was always like, don't touch the underneath of a table. There's gum under there. And I had this deep fear of people's gum. So I never did it because I was so grossed out by other people's gum.
Well, sorry.
Anyway. Okay. Your turn.
Okay. Never have I ever actually enjoyed a White Claw.
I have enjoyed a White Claw. I like White Claws. Ugh. So what do you drink? Trulies or what?
Yeah, I like the lemonades, the Truly lemonades. There's just something about, like, I drink a lot of seltzer water, like, just in my regular life. So there's something about, like, something I drink for hydration also tasting like the thing I drink to, like, party. That just, I don't enjoy it. It's never been my thing.
I do like them. I'm not very picky, though. I've talked about it on my podcast before, but there's pretty much nothing I'm not, like, that I won't try or whatever. Right. And the foods that I don't like or drinks that I don't like, I still eat them. Like, people don't know. Like, even my husband, he didn't know for a long time. He's like, wait, you don't like that? I'm like, no. He's like, but you eat it all the time. I'm like, yeah, I just.
Because it's here.
I just like everything. I'm like, I'm such a big foodie and drinky and like whatever. So I like everything.
Oh, I've drank many White Claws in my life. I just don't like them.
Well, speaking of seltzer water, I actually had to cut back on them because I was getting these excruciating headaches. I was like overdosing on LaCroix.
No!
Also not sponsored. I love the key lime and the limoncello LaCroix. Like, yum. Addicted to them. I
like the watermelon
I was drinking
one.
So much.
I like the watermelon.
I haven't had that one.
It's so good.
I have not had that one. We've said so many sponsored things in this. None of this is our sponsor to say.
Unless they want to.
Yeah, exactly. Hit us up. Okay, my next one. Never have I ever kissed my best friend. So this one was weirdly specific, but I've never ever kissed my best friend. That would be the weirdest.
I have kissed pretty much all of my friends. Hi friends, you know who you are, but yeah, just like from just a place of love, not anything weird, but just
neither. I'm a loving kisser. I literally have a picture on my page of me and my grandma kissing, and people think that's so weird, but I'm a loving kisser, but not like specifically. I would never kiss my best friend from my like whole life.
Right.
Thousand percent
have. I'll give you context though too. My birthday is on New Year's Eve. And so I've never had like a serious relationship or anything that like I've brought in a significant other to my birthday. So like 9 times out of 10, one of my friends will always be my New Year's kiss because it's like my birthday and it's just like cute and whatever. So that's one of the instances. Aww. Some of them are just too many White Claws.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Or the era of the photo booth. Like, you know, those, ooh, yes. Some bars have them.
Yeah.
But those photo booths, whoever you're with, you have to do
one kissing
picture. You have to.
You have to.
It's the era of the photo booth.
Honestly. It's like.
Unless it's my best friend.
Apparently.
I still stand by
unless
that.
Unless it's your best friend. Honestly, mine would be like all of that. All my friends would be down. All of them.
Okay. Your turn.
Okay. This one's a little targeted. Never have I ever hit 1 million streams on Spotify.
I have.
Oh my god, I had no idea.
That felt oddly specific. It's actually about to hit 2 million, which I think is just wild.
That's insane.
Because that was such a like a joke song. Not a joke, but
no,
my,
what you
it's
mean.
My trend. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's a joke. It's just three random words.
So your trend, I did it, the like random three word generated song, whatever. Uh-huh. That trend that I did doing yours ended up being Mistake.
No way.
Yeah. Like if you go,
why are we not talking about this? How is it? Where's the press? Someone give us the press.
Let me see if I can find it so I can send it to you. If I don't find it now, I'll send it to you afterwards. But I did like, I'm pretty sure I tagged you. If I didn't, you can literally clock me for it later. But I did the three words and I did it, and then I ended up changing all of the lyrics afterwards, but I loved the melody I came up with, and I came up with the, well, my worst mistake was loving you, like in that challenge. And then I was like, wait, I really like this. And then I produced it with my friend Grant, and I was like, okay, so thanks.
No way. That is so cool. Well, anyway, if you didn't tag me in it, it's fine. It's hard
I'm
to
sure
track
I
who
did.
Is it who did the trends.
Right.
I struggle with that. I try to always at least tag the person I saw do it and hope that they tag the person that they saw and then I'll get back. Well, okay, never have I ever snuck out as a teenager.
Nope.
Never?
Never.
Yeah, me neither.
I was such a good girl.
I was too, and I was really close with my parents, so I would have had this guilt that I was doing like such this horrible thing against them.
Same.
I had liked friends, them too much.
Right. I had friends that are not my friends anymore. We don't stand them, but they always wanted me to like do shit my parents didn't want me to do. And I was always like, no. So then they'd give me shit for it. But then all in all, like, I'm happy I never like gave in to them, because like my parents are my best friends, and I never like, my dad's the one that bought me my first handle of Fireball for prom, because I had never drank before, and was like, he was like, you always listen to your mom and I, so like, let us do something for you. And I was like, this is what I needed. This is why I was good.
Yeah, see, this is kind of like my parents too. My mom always, she let me, I went to Christian school, a private school as well. So
amazing.
Very strict and everything. But, my mom would let me color my hair when I wanted to. She let me do all the edgy things as a teenager that I wanted. So I never wanted to disrespect my parents.
Right.
Because it was like, they let me do so many things that when it came down to, like my friends saying, oh, we should do this. I'm like, I don't know. My parents let me do so many things. I'm not trying to like get on their bad side. Like they always let me do fun stuff. So no.
Absolutely.
No sneaking out.
No, no, ma'am. Never have I ever ridden on a motorcycle.
I have ridden on many motorcycles.
Was it fun? What was your favorite one?
Yes. So my dad was a Harley guy.
Oh,
so
I
he still has his Harley. And then we would camp. I went camping a lot. So, I would ride with my dad. I'm not a motorcycle pro. Surprise, surprise. I'm not super coordinated. But I rode motorcycles a lot as a kid. Okay, my next one is, never have I ever hitchhiked.
No. Sometimes Uber feels like that, but no.
There are times where it does feel like hitchhiking, I will say.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I never have. I never have even thought about it. I would have been too scared. My anxiety controls me too much to have ever been so spontaneous as to hitchhike.
So, yeah, I think I would have already been murdered in my brain before I even got into the car, that I would just be a panicked mess. I couldn't even ask.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known what to say.
Yeah, no.
I don't know. Do people actually put their thumb up, though, right?
I feel like,
I wouldn't have been able to even do that. Like, my thumb wouldn't have let me. I'd been like, I can't do it. Okay, your turn.
Okay. Which one do I want to do? Never have I ever fallen on stage while performing.
Fallen. I don't think I have fallen.
Ooh, we're lucky.
I've kicked a water bottle, an open water bottle, directly into somebody's face, like spilled it all over them by accident, because it was too hard to keep unscrewing my cap, so I set it down by my feet, and they put their hands out, so I went to like touch their hand and just kicked the water bottle open to all the people.
Honestly,
in the front row.
They
so
probably said thank you. If it was me, I would have been like, thank you. I've been blessed.
But never fallen, so there's that.
Okay, amazing.
Okay, never have I ever had a paranormal experience.
I like to think I have, but I also think I just might be paranoid sometimes.
So agreed.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I hear things all the time,
yeah.
And I think that it's a ghost or a spirit. Yeah. But I have no proof. There's no, I don't have like a photo of it where I'm like, look, there was a ghost.
Right. Look, mom, a ghost. I had a broken remote for my TV. And I would lay in bed and watch TV. And I'd go to turn up the volume. And then I'd set the remote down. And then all of a sudden the volume would just be getting louder and louder and louder and louder. And I know logically it's because I had an old remote and the button was getting stuck. But it kept happening every single night. For like the first week and a half that I moved here. And then I got another remote and it dead ass kept happening with the new remote. I was like, I'm not crazy. There is something here. And then I just got a whole new TV. I literally took the TV off the wall, sold it because it was an older TV too. So I was like, maybe it's the actual TV, and I've had no problem since.
Wow. Haunted TV.
Haunted Who TV. Knew? And I was just a mess.
Who knew?
I was like, new city, new ghost to me. Like, I don't know who I was in those weeks.
Shoo-wee, that's crazy. Yeah, no, mine are like way less specific. I just always think I'm being watched, but there's nobody there.
Yes.
I hear things when I'm home alone. Like I've literally told my husband, there's somebody in the house. And he's like, okay, if there's somebody in the house, you need to go into our room and whatever. I'm like, no, never mind. It was just me. Never mind.
So you're like, no, we're fine. We're going to be okay. Yeah, I like, whenever I'm home alone, it's like a deadbolt. I have a little chain, and then I have a little dog gate that I baby lock. Like, that's going to help me at all. And then I lock my bedroom door. And then I just,
if
like...
If you trip your intruder with a dog gate, it could buy you some time.
It could.
So.
And I put the childproof lock over it, so I feel like that at least would give me 3 seconds to, like, figure
exactly.
that out. Right?
No intruder knows how to use a child lock.
No.
So.
No, they don't.
Oh, okay, God. One more question and then we'll get back into the interview. It's
okay.
Your turn.
Okay. Never have I ever dated an ex of someone that I knew.
Dated an ex of someone that I knew.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, that's against the rule book, right? Like,
right, absolutely.
Like, the sisterhood rule book, I don't think I know.
You're right. Okay.
Although, you know what? I do have a friend, and I am still friends with her, but back in middle school, she did, like, the same guy as me after I, like, broke up with him, and that sticks with me.
You're like, I only think about it 3 times a week.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so you have a new single coming out. What can we expect to see campaign-wise for this song? Your Serotonin music video was so good.
Thank
I know
you.
That you're going to kill it.
Thank you.
So what can we expect visual-wise or anything?
Visual-wise, I already shot the cover. I did a self-shoot just like I did with Serotonin. I wanted to do something a little bit different that kind of goes with the song. So once you know what the song is called, it'll make a lot of sense. If you're seeing this, it's what, Tuesday today?
Yes.
I should be announcing the cover any day now. Honestly, I might announce the cover tomorrow because I have everything. I just have to, let's plan for Wednesday. So if you're seeing this on Tuesday, I'm going to announce the cover on my Instagram tomorrow. So
yes, you guys go. Her name is Courtney Govan. So go, you need to go check if you're listening to this right now because it might just be out.
Yes.
It might.
Who knows? I don't have to ask anyone. So we'll see what my boss is feeling. And that's me.
I love that. Wow. What are some goals that you have for the future of your career? I know you're releasing music now. What is kind of, people always say your 10-year plan, but it doesn't have to be your 10 years. Just kind of what's the future of your career? Who
honestly,
is Courtney going
to
be?
I can't wait to get into live performing because we touched on this earlier, but like my career really did start during the pandemic. You know, like I know we didn't talk about it, but like I was also on I Can See Your Voice on Fox and all of that aired during the pandemic. So I have very little performance experience when it comes to being like Courtney Govan, the singer on stage. I have plenty of onstage experience when it comes to like theater and acting, but like, I cannot wait to just like go and experience what it's like to sing people my songs and to see them smiling back at me. You know, that's going to be incredible. And I think over the next 10 years, I just want to keep developing who I am as an artist. I love pop music with all my heart, and I want to keep writing like introspective stories that haven't been told yet. And yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I just want to keep telling stories that don't exist yet, that people are like, I needed that. And that's how I feel about this single coming out, because I really don't feel like there's a lot of songs out like what I'm about to release. So I'm very excited.
Okay, awesome. And I'm just really excited to see where your success keeps taking you.
Thank you.
I'm sure, honestly, by the time a lot of people are listening to this podcast, you're going to have hit a million streams on your song. This girl is no joke. She is no joke. She's killing it in the industry. Your music is it's very inspired.
Thank you.
Comes across as genuine. And I love that you do this stuff yourself. You come up with your visuals. That is how you know a true creative versus just a singer.
Yeah.
You're not just a singer. You're a creative. And I'm just really proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm excited to see where this keeps going. Yeah. Where can we all find you if we want to do some late night internet stalking? What is your Instagram, TikTok, everywhere?
I made this so easy for all of you. It is Courtney Govan everywhere.
Oh, I love that. We love that here. Yeah. Perfect. I'm going to put it on the screen for those of you watching on YouTube.
Amazing.
So you can go follow. Don't forget to go check out and make sure that you are turn on your notifications, because she's about to say the title and everything for her next song. So I will be turning on the notifications for sure.
I am
so happy that you came on my show. Keep doing your thing, queen.
Thank
we love
you.
To see it. We'd love to see it here on the Laundry Day show. Thank you so much for
of
joining
course.
Me. And I am going to keep just cheering you on through your whole musical journey.
Thank you so much. And you know, I am right there beside you cheering you on, because I know this was my interview, but you are just as fabulous and just as amazing.
Let's jump into a little laundry money. We are about to launch our Laundry Day merch. In the meantime, check out my merch store, shopdrewrin.com, for some updates on my designs and some discounts and some designs circled, centered, whatever, around my latest music and more. I'm working on some really cool stuff, as I've talked about in my last couple episodes. While I have you, don't forget to write a review for the chance to be featured in my next episode. It's time for some laundromat gossip. Ooh, this week's is a little different. This week I want to cover something. It is different, but it's sort of in the same lane. It's TikTok drama. Bee TikTok drama. No, really, like beekeepers. Everyone's For You pages are different. Some people are on snowboard talk, some are on polyamory talk, and some on beekeeping talk. These TikToks include footage of people harvesting honey, how beekeepers are removing hives from people's homes, and just how they interact with their hives in general. The woman who owns the business Texas Bee Works, Erica Thompson's, is one TikTok content creator who has gone viral thanks to the beekeeping TikTok algorithm. She has over 6 million followers. She has even collaborated with Jason Derulo. The Washington Post did a story on her in March. She told the newspaper, quote, "It's something I've been into my entire life," unquote. Her content includes videos of her scooping bees into boxes, saving the queen bee while she's wearing streetwear, like jeans, t-shirts, that kind of thing. But this is where things get messy. Another user at LA Honey Bee Rescue claims that Thompson's is not the expert she claims to be. Is it Thompson's or Thompson? Now I need to fact check this. Is not the expert she claims to be. According to the videos that have been now removed, at LA Honey Bee Rescue says, quote, "It's dangerous for Thompson to work with bees while," quote, "opening hives with her hair down and wearing dark clothes with exposed skin." It is said that bees can become aggravated by dark colors, which is why beekeepers usually wear those big white suits that also prevent them from being stung. At LA Honey Bee Rescue also accuses Thompson of not actually rescuing the bees, claiming, quote, "She shows herself removing comb, which her husband has pre-cut for her very courteously. Like, I don't see her using power tools. I don't see her using ladders. Her husband goes in, cuts everything up for her," unquote. Another quote says, "She looks really pretty doing it, and that's because it's faked." They explain, I hate to say that because y'all are going to say I'm coming for her, but it's not. Vice writes, however, that Thompson began Texas Bee Works at least 5 years before she married her husband, Andrew Hollister. Vice also reports that Hollister's background is no more bee savvy than her. Oh, that Hollister's husband's background is no more bee savvy than hers, as he's in real estate and investing. So is he really helping her behind the scenes? Vice shares some insights on why she wears street clothes while doing this process. Let me just give you mine before we see what Vice says. Mine is do it for the content. everybody on the entire app, on TikTok, on anything, is doing what they're doing for the content, for the shock value, for whatever. So before we see what they say her reason is, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. It's all about lighting. It's all about fits. It's all about whatever. So it's the shock value. It has to be. Anyway, that's just my two cents. Vice's insights say that she wears street clothing while doing this process because she recently told the outlet that, quote, the removals that went viral, those are some cases where I'm not wearing gear. But you know, there are other cases where I am wearing gear. One of the things you don't see, maybe in the 1 minute TikTok videos, I'm in Texas and it's incredibly hot. Sometimes these removals take 30 minutes. Sometimes they take 3 hours or more. Beekeeping gear in general is big. It's bulky. It makes it a bit more difficult to work with these tiny creatures who are very delicate, unquote. On Saturday, June 5th, Thompson addresses the, quote, untrue and hurtful attacks on her Instagram, calling the drama a false narrative. It's a sad day when people see a woman doing something that is so outside of the norm, they assume there is no way she can actually be doing those things, and if she is, she must be getting help from a man, she said. Quote, thank you to the mass of experienced beekeepers, leaders of the beekeeping community, and all the beekeeping associations who were quick to come to my defense, unquote. Thompson agrees that bees are dangerous creatures, writing, quote, experienced beekeepers are the only ones who should be handling bees in these situations because sometimes bees need a helping hand. This goes to show you that when it comes to social media, cancel culture does not discriminate. We are all susceptible to the judgment. Oh man, bee drama. Who knew? Who knew? Y'all thought it was really just about TikTok dancers, but no, even the beekeepers are not safe. We're all not safe. Thank you all so much for joining me on the Laundry Day Show. I am so glad to have you here. I will see you next week. Say one nice thing to one other person and make the world a better place. Bye.